Today. We're here for your glory. As we sang earlier, we come to say you're holy, you're sovereign, you're ruler over everything. God, your word says you sit in inapproachable light, and in you there's no darkness, no darkness at all. But Lord, a God like that became Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that you came for us. You came, God, and lived like us so that you could redeem us. We're grateful today. And God, I'm thankful that you did it just for me. God, you came and did it just for me. It wasn't because I'm good. Wasn't because any of us in here are good, God. It's because you made us to love us, and we're grateful. And I got, God, I pray this morning that in this season, as Brother Al just so wonderfully reminded us, in this season of Advent, God, that we don't get so comfortable and familiar with the Christmas story that we miss the reality of what you've done for us, that we miss the wonder, we miss the miracle in what you did in sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Speak to our hearts today. Pray that someone come to know you as a mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we applaud our King this morning? Come on, give him glory, give him glory, give him glory. I want to thank our praise team. I want to thank Brother Joseph and Brother Justin. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. Amen. This month, in the month of December, we started a series last week called Unto Us. And we're looking at a passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And we're looking at four titles of Jesus. And last week we called him a wonderful counselor. And I want to say this is a word of testimony. And also I pray it encourages this individual. Because last week when we talked about he's a wonderful counselor. God knows how to test you. Anybody been under the test? I mean, this week has been some serious drama in my house. And I'm going to share that, but not just in my house. This brother last week helped to lead us into worship, and he told the testimony of how God provided a vehicle for him and his family. Brother Justin, you remember Brother Justin said that? And he's a wonderful counselor, and God you know, taught him a couple of weeks ago, it's always to give thanks, to have a thankful heart. And Justin sent out a text this morning of that new vehicle all crashed up. This morning, the vehicle that he shared a testimony about last week, he got in a wreck this morning and ruined that brand new car. But guess what? He's still a mighty God and a wonderful counselor. I want to thank you, brother, and encourage your heart. Because if y'all, you know, when you're charged to leave work, and guess what? He still came to the house of the Lord. He still came in here this morning with a burden on him. He sent that picture. I saw that picture. I said, you got to be kidding me. And if y'all notice, it took him a while before he could get his chance to sing. Because that's heavy. But he knows, guess what? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No matter what you're going through in life, you got to know that he's God in the middle of it. And you trust him, and God is doing exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. And he's what he does. He puts you through it to test, just like he did with Abraham. I want to test how real I am to you. And I'm just encouraged by your heart this morning, brother. And I trust, guess what? God is going to provide. Listen, he goes to and fro the earth to show himself strong for those who got a heart for him. And I just wanted to encourage you in that this morning. Amen. And y'all can keep my brother in prayer. Amen. He's a good God. And God, listen, God testing everybody's going through. I know one thing. We talked about him being a wonderful counselor. We said a wonderful counselor, the word wonderful in the Hebrew is meaning something that's beyond human ability. And this week, I have been in the hospital more than I'd like to be in the hospital. On Thursday night, my father said, son, I'm getting ready to take your mother to the emergency room. She said the room started to spin. The images started going out. She was looking at stuff and the faces started to disappear. She felt like she was fainting, room spinning. So he took her. He called an ambulance. We got there. They took her to the emergency room. She looked at me in the hospital. She said, oh, your face is going, my face was going back and forth, back and forth. They examined her. All her vitals were fine. Everything was fine. We pray. We're not sure. We're still not sure exactly what it is, but I praise God it was that she is here this morning. He's a mighty God. Amen. My testimony, some of y'all got the text message, but my testimony, well, that was Thursday. Then Friday, I'm coming back from basketball practice with my son, and my daughter calls, and she says, Daddy, Mama is hurt. I'm like, Mama is, what are you talking about? And I can hear my mother-in-law screaming in the background. And she's screaming in pain in the background. I'm like, what's going on? She said, Mama is hurt. She said, Mommy said, could you call Zay? So I called Zay, you know, my nephew Zay. I called him, told him to go around to the house. Evidently, my mother-in-law fell out, and I don't know what it is, excruciating pain from her back. She said it felt like a man was standing on her back. Pain moved from her low back up to her upper back, around to her chest. She started feeling her hand get numb, and I could hear her hollering and screaming in the background. And Tracy was there. I'm glad to see, and Charles were close by. And we got there. We took her to the hospital. And we're thinking, you know, after the pain got through so bad, they had to give her morphine. After the pain got through, we're thinking, okay, she got back spasms. We're going to go home. We've been there in the emergency room from 2 until about 11 o'clock at night. Finally, the doctor, nobody had been rushing until then. The doctor rushes in and said, we got to rush your mom and put her on a helicopter and medevac her to Washington Hospital Center because she's got a tear in her aorta. And you want to talk about scared. The whole atmosphere just changed. So they put her on a helicopter, and, you know, Tracy was, you know, it was rough for everybody. Put her on a helicopter, took her to the hospital center. But I'm thankful that we serve a mighty God. I'm thankful, God. Listen, let me tell you, I'm thankful because Friday my wife is not usually home. She's usually at work. I'm thankful that God orchestrated that my wife was home. She was home when it happened. That somebody was there that could tend to her. Usually I'm taking my son to a tutoring class, but I didn't. I took him right home, so I was right close by. God is, listen, he's on the throne. He's a mighty God. I'm thankful that we have people in our body like Dr. Hutchinson who can send people ahead of you to be able to look out for my mother-in-law and give us assurance that everything's going to be okay. We pray that you all continue, keep her lifted up in prayer. She's at the Washington Hospital Center now, but she's doing a lot better. Still has some pain, doing a lot better, but we ask that you keep her in prayer. The devil is busy, but my God is still awesome. Amen? Amen. So we ask that you continue to pray. One last thing I want, one last word of, this morning we're talking about a mighty God. Amen? And listen, sometimes the testimony preaches the message. One last word. Y'all know Crystal and Kenneth Thomas. They were longtime members here, raised all their children here, Camille, Cottrell, Colleen, and Colette. Last week, my brother KT, we call him KT, Kenneth Thomas, had an aneurysm and a tear in his aorta. They ended up, long story short, he said he bent down, he came up, everything was going numb on this side. They took him to the hospital, medevaced him to Washington Hospital Center. Long story short, the doctor got him in there and told him, listen, if we do the surgery now, you got a 50-50 shot to live. If we don't do the surgery, you'll be dead in 24 hours. We saw him yesterday. Just so happened they were on the same floor with Tracy's mom. Said, if you don't do the surgery, you'll be dead in 24 hours. If we do the surgery, you got a 50-50 shot. KT said, Doc, you can't give me no better odds than that. He said, sure can. Put him in the surgery. He said, I just said, look, if it's just 50-50, we're going to pray. He got the anesthesia team and all the OR team, and he just began to pray. Crystal hadn't even got in there yet, I don't think. And they went, took him in surgery in 8 hours, came out. God is good. I talked to him yesterday. He might be going home in 2 days. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And I praise God for that testimony. Brother shared it. He couldn't even stop the tears because he said, oh, what a, we serve a mighty God. When God's got something to do for you to do, guess what? You will not leave until you finish what he's accomplished in you. Amen. So we praise God that we serve an awesome, mighty God. And guess what? That mighty God, he can be mighty in your life. If you could turn in your Bible to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9. We're going to read these two verses, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. It says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. This passage right here is a prophecy of the coming of Christ that took place. This prophecy was 700 years before the birth of Christ. And last week we looked at Jesus Christ being a wonderful what? Counselor. And we said he's a wonderful counselor. As a wonderful counselor, he is a counselor that needs no counsel. He's a counselor who always gives you the right advice. He's a counselor that always has your best interest in mind. And a counselor that you can count on in your time of need. And that being said, we looked at him in a Bible study. I encourage you to come out on Wednesday night. We looked and broke that down a little bit more on Wednesday night Bible study. And we just came up with the conclusion, well, if he's all that, then when I need some counsel, where should be the first place I go? To him. And where do we find this counsel? Where do we find it? It's not spooky. Guess what? He puts it right here in the Word. If we go to his word is full of his counsel. And so Jesus is the wonderful counselor. But the passage also here says, the next word we're going to deal with, next title, is he is a mighty God. Let me ask you, how many of you are superhero fans? Any of y'all like superheroes? Anybody? Who are the Marvel people? Any Marvel people in the building? Any DC comic people in the building? Okay, can we show some of these? Do I have my superheroes on this? Oh, there we go. Now, let me ask you, of these, who's a Superman? Who's a Superman fan? Anybody a Superman fan? Okay. These are the DC comic crew. Now, there's one coming out soon. I can't wait to see it. Aquaman. I don't know. Some of y'all are a little younger than me, but I remember watching Aquaman, like cartoon on Saturday morning. That was my dude. I love Aquaman. All right. So these are all superheroes. And growing up, all of us have had superheroes that we wanted to be like. You know, our kids, my son, I saw his Black Panther mask on the desk this morning. We all, you know, all of them, they got all these superhero costumes. Here's some more. There's some other superheroes. Let me see my Marvel people. Anybody, here's a Marvel comic. Anybody a Spider-Man guy? Who's a Spider-Man guy? I know Al. Anybody like comics? And you want to know anything about reviews on movies that had to do anything with comics, anything, check out Al. Al has got a wonderful YouTube channel where he reviews a lot of this stuff. But Al is a comic dude. All right? So I love all the superheroes. And this is what, listen, lately, this is one of my favorites. One of my favorites. This one right here. The movie that came out last year, this is my man, The Black Panther. The Black Panther. I know Sister Tanya is a Wonder Woman. She loves her some Wonder Woman. Well, you know, we all had superheroes, and there was another superhero that some of y'all don't like. Y'all remember Mighty Mouse? Who remembers Mighty Mouse? Yes, I used to love watching Mighty Mouse. Some of y'all don't remember Mighty Mouse. But the thing about superheroes is, you know, they're able to do what? Supernatural things. And it's so funny. One of my coworkers, her son is like 5 or 6 years old, and he was at school, and he was talking to his friends about Jesus. He was asking, he could not believe that this other little kid, 5, didn't know, had never heard of Jesus, right? And he was asking him about Jesus, and the little boy said, well, is he kind of like a superhero? And he said, no, he's way better than a superhero. And the fact of the matter is, he's right. And too often, a lot of times, we kind of reduce Jesus to just like a superhero. And we look at these superheroes. They come and they save the day. They're champions. They're warriors. But when we look at this passage right here in Isaiah chapter 9, it says that one of his titles, the title we're going to deal with today, is that he will be the what? Mighty God. The Hebrew word right there, the Hebrew phrase that is used there is a phrase called El Gabor. El Gabor. And the word Gabor really means warrior or champion. It kind of has the mindset of being a hero. Jesus is a mighty, he is God, our warrior champion. El means God. Gabor means warrior champion. He is God, our warrior champion. And this morning, we want to look at Jesus as the mighty God, our warrior champion, and what kind, how mighty he is. Amen? So when we look at his might, he is mighty in the first thing I want to look at, that Jesus is mighty in his human manifestation. Jesus is mighty in his human manifestation. There's a big word called incarnation. What do I mean? He's mighty in how he presented himself as man. Why? Because this is, listen, the Bible says he is Emmanuel, God with us. When you think about that, what we're talking about on Christmas is the God coming to earth. He was being born of a virgin. Scripture says a virgin will be with child. He was born of a virgin. He manifests himself. God came to earth, born of a virgin. I want y'all to think about how supernatural that is. And oftentimes we talk about it. And the thing is shocking to me, just like Al said, in the culture and the world we're living, where we're trying to do away with Christ in Christmas, there is still a large percentage of our population who believes in a virgin birth. And I'm talking about people who aren't Christians. This is a supernatural occurrence. Christmas is no small deal, y'all. Jesus is mighty in his human manifestation, in his incarnation. Do you know only God could cause a woman to be with child and listen, to give birth to his son? There's no other way that could happen. Listen, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. Listen, the Bible says in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh. The Word became human, lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. Listen, he was mighty in his human manifestation. He came to live among us just like you. He came to be with you, to live like us, be among us so that he could save us. That's powerful. Why is that so powerful? Because listen, why is this a mighty thing? Because God, listen, he created, we got to start at the beginning, y'all. Can we go back to Genesis for a second? The fact of the matter is that God created humans in his own image. The Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, he created man in his own image. He designed us to be in relationship with God. But what happened, the relationship with God was torn apart, was broken when man decided to do his own thing. Because God loves you, see, this is the one beautiful thing about it. The Bible said, listen, if God loved us, why does he allow evil? Why does he allow these things to happen? See, one of the things about love is love gives you a choice. See, it wouldn't be love if my wife was made to love me. I want her to have the choice to love me. So what God created you, he created you to love you, but part of that love was giving you a choice to love him back. And in the choice that he gave us, man chose ourselves. We chose to do our own thing. But guess what? Even though man chose to do our own thing, God didn't stop loving you. And because he's omnipotent, meaning all powerful, God said, listen, I gave them the choice. I gave them the choice to choose me or choose themselves or choose their own will. They chose to do what they wanted to do, but I still want them. I still created them to be in relationship with me. So in my might, what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to make a way to fix this relationship so I can get them back. And the only way that can be fixed is there got to be a sacrifice for their sins. And the only sacrifice that will qualify is a perfect one. And because they've chosen their own way, they're no longer perfect, so they can't be the sacrifice. So there's got to be a perfect man who can pay for them to get it back. This is the might of the incarnation. This is the might of God in allowing Jesus to become man. So what he said is, what I am going to do, I'm going to satisfy my own justice and be born because he's God. Because we said the word wonderful counselor means one who can do what is impossible. What is not possible for man. See, what's not possible for man is possible with God. So here's the might of his human presentation. The mighty, the amazing thing is that God chose himself. God said, listen, I will put on flesh and come to this earth to be a man, walk in their shoes, go through everything that they go through, and not sin one time because I'm the God man. And then I will allow the ones who didn't choose me, but I created them for me. They didn't choose me. I will allow them to crucify me so that I could be their sacrifice. He was mighty in his human manifestation. The thing that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the God man. See, a lot of times, I'm going to tell you, as Christians, we get scared about saying Jesus is God. Because some folks will say, well, that's you know, polytheism. Y'all believe in two gods. We get nervous about saying Jesus is God. But no, you got to listen. If you want to walk this walk, if you want to come this way, Jesus is God. He has declared himself to be so. I and the Father are one. He presented himself in human flesh so that he could be your sacrifice. That's how much he loves you. Jesus, he's the mighty God. He's mighty in his human manifestation. But not only is he mighty in his human manifestation, he's also mighty in his works of transformation. So he came in flesh. The word became flesh and lived among us. But he did not just come to become, he didn't just come here for some doctrinal proclamation. Jesus came to change our lives. He's mighty in his transformation. If you look at all of the works of Christ, if you look through the Gospels and see what Jesus has done, people who came in contact with Jesus were never the same again. He's mighty in his transformation. Matthew chapter 9, they brought a man who was paralyzed to Jesus. And Matthew chapter 9 verse 2 says, some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus came to transform your life. First, he came to change you so that you might be transformed, that you might become a what? New creature. The Bible in Corinthians verse 5, verse 7 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old has gone, the new has come. He's mighty in his transformation. What do I mean? When you come to accept and understand what Christ has done, why he came, what he has done, he will change you. He will take the sin. The Bible says, listen, not the Bible, my mother always says this to the kids. He came to make you clean, right, and give you his life. What he did when Jesus died on the cross, now when I make the choice to accept what he has done for me, then what he does, he gives me the righteousness of Christ and he takes my sin. He's mighty in his transformation. Here today, what the Christmas is all about, what it's about, it's about transformation. This whole thing on Sunday morning, what we do when we come to church, it's not just about hearing a good word. My prayer this morning, I said, Lord, I don't want to preach a good word. Pray that somebody be changed. The whole purpose of what Jesus did is so that people be changed. Their lives are transformed. Just think about everybody that Jesus came in contact in Scripture. The Bible in Luke 15 says, in the same way, verse 7, in the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Jesus came to change your life. Jesus came to change your life. He came to be Lord. See, this is the thing that we get confused in church. A lot of folks are looking to Jesus for fire insurance. Nobody wants to go to hell. Jesus said, I didn't come just to save you from hell. See, being saved from hell is a byproduct of me being Lord of your life. See, what I came to do, I came to take over. I came to change you, to move you from darkness to light. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's why this is so essential. The message of Christmas, man, it's a powerful thing. And that's why Satan is so vehemently trying to remove Christ from Christmas. Just think about what Al just told us this morning. You can't say Christmas on the holiday that celebrates Christ's birth. Because if we could get people's eyes and their focus off of Christ, that's what they're trying to do. That's what the whole effort of our society is trying to do right now. And people of God, if those of us who name the name of Christ, you got to hold out the word of life. And you got to be bold. Because what you got to be convinced of is that the world we're in needs changing. That people need transformation. And if people would truly understand and listen to what Christ is offering and what Christ can do, it's an amazing, listen, when he turns your light on to the transformation, it's an amazing, very appealing thing. But the Holy Spirit got to open your eyes. And how will they hear without a preacher? And guess who the preacher is? It ain't me. It's us. We have to preach this message of transformation. Jesus came to transform lives. Matthew, in the Message Bible, says it there like this. The Message, not translation, but the paraphrase, Message in Matthew 11, 28 says, are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He came to set us free. He came to transform your life. If you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he wants to change your life. But if you have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? He wants to change your life. So he says, look, don't be conformed to the world. For those of us who've already made the profession of faith, who've already accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, Christ's work of transformation is never done. He's always trying to change something in us. We're always a work in progress. And what God wants you to do, listen, wants you to submit to that transforming work in your life. And when you call him Lord, that's what you're saying you're going willing to do. God, what is the area in my life you're trying to change? And I ask you this morning, in this time when we come to Christmas, let it not just be about gifts. Let it not just be about stuff under the tree. It's like, God, what are you trying to change in me? Yesterday when I was at the hospital talking to Brother KT, and I told Crystal, I said, Crystal, y'all don't, he said, listen, KT said, I guess I won't be able to put up the Christmas tree this year. I said, brother, y'all, your family don't want nothing else for Christmas other than you being right here. And I said, what God has just done now has given you a new perspective on what this whole thing is all about. Life will never be the same for you again. And so what God is doing now, he brought something to do a work of transformation in you. Sometimes the trials come to us because he's trying to transform us. And my question to you, are you willing to let him transform? And guess what? He is the one who does the changing. He is a what? Mighty God. Jesus is mighty in his human manifestation. Jesus is mighty in his transformation. But Jesus is also mighty in his loving crucifixion. I was reading a story about a man. His name was David Saunders. One day, this guy, Mr. David, was waiting for his four-year-old daughter to get off the bus, the school bus. And while he was waiting across the street, he was standing in his driveway. And there was the bus was across the street, and there was a pickup truck behind it. When the bus stopped, he went over, got his daughter, walked back across the street, got into the driveway. When he was coming back across the street into the driveway, there was a car coming behind the pickup truck that didn't notice that the bus was stopped. And to avoid the pickup truck, the car swerved up into his driveway. When he saw the car coming, when he swerved up into the driveway, was coming, he threw his four-year-old daughter into the front yard. Car hit him head on. Killed him. killed him instantly. And the police officer that was on the scene, the sheriff that was on the scene, he said this. He said, listen, it was a heroic act by a father to save his child. He did everything he could, and in the process, he lost his own life. Man, how similar is that to what Jesus did for us? I love it. It was a heroic act by a father to save his child. Isn't that what when he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us? A heroic act by God, the warrior champion, to save his lost children. By sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. He took the hit for you and me. He took the hit for us. The Bible, Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. God was being entirely fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former times. And he is entirely fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. He took the punishment for you. And I love it. He says he's right and fair to declare us. He declares us right in his sight. It doesn't mean I'm right in his sight. He has declared me righteous. It's not because I'm innocent. He's just declared me not guilty. And he's mighty in his crucifixion. Why would I talk about in his loving crucifixion? Do you know what kind of a man does it take to be born and live for 33 years and know that you just came for this? What kind of strength does it take to live your whole life knowing that the people that you created are going to beat you and put you, and you're going to die the most horrible death possible? That's why I said he's mighty in his crucifixion. Because listen, the Bible said that no man took his life. He laid it down. That takes more than a superhero. That takes omnipotence. That takes a mighty God, a warrior champion, to be able to lay down his life like he did for us. You know, I had a chance to meet with some pastors a few weeks ago, and one of them was a pastor of a Messianic congregation. He's a Jewish guy. And part of the meeting we were talking about is actually talking about some of the hateful feelings that a lot of Christians have towards Jews. And the guy was sharing with us that a lot of it is steeped in people look at Jews as being the one who crucified Jesus. And we all said, nobody killed Jesus. He laid his life down for all of us. And so what we got to understand, that is a mighty act. There's only a God can do that. To live, to be born, to live 33 years knowing that men are going to give you, you're going to die the most horrible death possible. Listen, do you know the word excruciating, where the word excruciating comes from? Out of the cross. That's where we get the word excruciating from. Out of the cross. I mean, listen, they got there because they were talking, when they compared to what crucifixion, how gruesome a death it was. That's what he did for you. And even though the men who were putting him on the cross, they mocked him and they spat on him and he looked weak. And they said, listen, if you be the Son of God, why don't you come down off of that cross? You know how weak he must have looked to them? Do you know how much might and power it takes for you to be on a cross and know that I'm the one who spoke you into existence? I'm the one who shaped you in my own image. I'm the one who made the wood that I'm leaning on. I'm the God that, listen, though you're looking at me and saying, why don't you get down off the cross? I can call 10,000 legions of angels right now. Don't even have to say a word. They're at my beck and call. What kind of might does it take to say, listen, I'm going to hold off all of that because I came to die for you? He was mighty in his crucifixion. When we look at him on that cross, see him not, listen, just as a suffering Savior, but as a mighty God. What kind of mighty love did it take to do that? And in this time, in this season of Christmas, let us not get lost on what this is all about. You know, Christmas and Easter could all be one big holiday. Christmas in it because that's what it's all about. Jesus, he's a mighty God. He's mighty in his human manifestation. He is mighty in his transformation, in his works of transformation. He was mighty in his loving crucifixion. But guess what? We sang it today. Listen, hallelujah. You have won the victory. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. You're seated in majesty. You are the risen King. He's mighty in his crucifixion, but guess what? He's mighty in his resurrection. He was mighty in his resurrection. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. See, he came, he died on the cross to pay for your sins. But he rose, listen, because he rose from the grave, then now I know I will rise. He rose so that I might one day rise with him and be seated with him. Today, you got to understand, listen, he is not dead, he's alive. There was a people in a remote area in East Asia. And I don't know if you all are familiar with the Jesus film. A lot of missions organizations use the Jesus film. They show it in different countries that they travel. And this particular missions organization had gone to this remote area in East Asia to the people that they were sharing the gospel with. And they showed the Jesus film. And what the Jesus film is, it's a portrayal of the life of Jesus based on the book of Luke. A very accurate portrayal, somewhat accurate portrayal. I say somewhat because the ethnicities may not be correct. That's an aside. That's another week. Amen. But the events, they try to make an accurate portrayal based on the scriptures. And they showed this film to this group of people in East Asia. And they watched the life of Jesus. They watched him being mighty in his incarnation and his birth. They saw the transforming works and how the lives that he changed. But when they got to the part where they began to beat him and whip him and began to put a crown of thorns on his head and mock him, these people became irate. They're watching this film and they jumped up. People got upset. They began, listen, they started to attack the missionaries. They were so upset at what was happening to Jesus. The missionary said, hold on, the movie's not over. Come on, just go back and sit down. They sat them back down again. They calmed them down. Then they got to the part where they put Jesus on the cross. And all, it just mayhem broke out. The people went ballistic. Again, they began to attack the missionaries. They got upset. They went after them. They were so upset that a man who was so mighty and so loving had done so many great things that they would allow this to happen, that this would happen. They were upset at what's going on. The missionaries had to tell him to sit down one more time. He said, wait till the end of the story. They got to the end, and when they got, Jesus went to the grave. When they got to the place of the resurrection, mayhem broke out again, but the people were shouting, yelling. I mean, it was a celebration. They were so excited. A celebration broke out. These people who had never heard the gospel, when they saw it portrayed, when they got to the resurrection, they were out of their mind with excitement. And just like they were out of their mind with excitement, they had never heard it before, never seen it before. My question to you is, have you seen it so much that it has ceased to be a wonder? Have you celebrated it every year on December 25th? Have you talked about it so much in your Sunday school class that he is no longer that mighty God of Scripture? That it's just a story? Because I'm here to tell you, when you really understand, if we really believe the Scriptures, when we get to the part of the resurrection, mayhem ought to break out in here. When you think of his goodness and all that he did to redeem you, when you think of the resurrection, guess what? You ought to shout every morning. Why? Because his mercy is new every morning. When I meditate on the fact that I did nothing to deserve it. In fact, I'm the one who put you on the cross. But you came to give me life. I'm not what I should be yet, but God, thank you that I'm not what I used to be. Thank you that you changed me. Thank you, Lord God, that you have gone to prepare a place for me. My question to you, do you still see him as the mighty God? El Gabor, God, your warrior champion. God, Jesus, who is mighty in his human manifestation. Do you still look at the virgin birth in wonder? Say, God, only you could do that. And you did it because you're chasing after me. We sang the song, I'm chasing after you. I'm so glad that he chased after me. That he's a God who chases after me. That he ran after me by sending his son, Jesus Christ. God, you're still the same one that was able to look at the paralyzed man and forgive his sins and then help him walk. God, thank you that you're still transforming lives. Still the God who's got the might and the power to change lives. You're God, listen, mighty in your crucifixion. Do you ever sit and meditate on what Jesus went through for you on that cross? Just think about the pain. Think about the abuse. Think about the beating. Think about the loss of blood. Think about all of that, and it should have been me. But guess what? The grave couldn't hold. And when you think about that he is alive, it ought to make you shout. It ought to make you celebrate that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. This holiday season is not just holiday season. I get so tired of people telling me happy holidays. No, Merry Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. Brother Al, I know what you feel. I'm up to here with that. Not saying Jesus about stuff. I'm almost ready for, please fire me. I want you to fire me. I want you to say, because listen, I can, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel, which is the good news. And what God is calling, I'm here to tell you, what God is calling in this season is a different church. You got to get ready for persecution. If we believe what we say we believe. He is a mighty God. Guess what? And when you stand with him, when you stand, guess what? He's your defender. He can defend you. You don't have to worry about what men will say. Stand for the truth. Amen? Can we all stand together? Jesus, he's the wonderful counselor. Today, he's El Gabor. Jesus, God, our warrior champion, the mighty God. He's the mighty God. He's able. We said it last week. He's a wonder. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. He's that God. He's a God who can transform you right now. If you can bow your heads and close your eyes with me. He came because he loved you. He came as a little baby. He lived on this earth. Jesus came because he wanted to get you back. He wanted a relationship with you. He wanted to be able to change your life, to move you from darkness to light. And he's here to do that today. You just have to make the choice to let him in. You have to make the choice to surrender your life and accept what he has offered you. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And he wants you to live with him forever. But you and I, our lives, all of us were born tainted with sin. That's just meaning we fall short of God's perfect standard. That's everybody in here. We've fallen short. And that because we've fallen short, that has created a barrier between us and God. And Jesus, the mighty God, Jesus Emmanuel, he came so that he might break down that barrier between you and God. And how did he do that? He became the sacrifice to pay for your sins. See, you cannot do enough good works for God to say, let him in, let her in to my glory. There's not enough good people. I can't feed enough homeless. I can't give enough money to charity. There's not enough good deeds that I can do for God to say at the end of my life, man, that was good. Your good outweighs your bad. Why don't you come on into my kingdom? It will never happen The only way for him to say that is if he looks at me and sees perfection. And I know me, he ain't gonna look at me and see perfection. So what God said, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna give them my perfection by sending my son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And if they put their faith and trust in what he has done, I will give them perfection and take their sins and give them eternal life. If you would like to receive that gift today, why don't you just raise your hand and say, I'd like to receive that. I want his righteousness in exchange for my sins. He loves you. He came so that your sins might be forgiven. All you got to do is admit that you're imperfect. Believe that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died, that he was buried and rose again. And make the choice to give your life over to him. If you're here and you'd like to make that choice today, could you raise your hand? I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone else that I want to make that choice to give my life to Jesus so he can forgive me my sins and give me brand new life? Anyone else today? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Second, if you're here, you said, Pastor, I've received that. I have accepted Jesus as Savior, but there's some areas of my life that I have not been submitting to change. And today, God, I want to ask you to forgive me. And I ask that you change me. Work the changes in my life, in the areas of my life that I have not been walking in obedience. If you're here, you're a follower of Christ, but you want to ask God to forgive you and want to return and surrender your life so that he might change some areas. Why don't you raise your hand? If you're here, you said, I want to recommit my life. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else said, I want to recommit my life to following this mighty God? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for these who've raised their hand, Lord. Thank you that you are the mighty God. Thank you that you are our warrior champion. Thank you that you're able to change. You're able to deliver. You're able to transform. God, you're able, God, to work things in our life that no one could understand. Things that are humanly impossible. And we give you glory today. God, we praise you, Lord God, for these who've raised their hand. For one that says, yes, I would like to receive the righteousness of Christ and give him my sin, to forgive me of my sin. Thank you, Lord. Let them never be the same again. Lord, for the one that said, God, I want you to change me. I've given my life to you, but I got some areas I want you to fix. Thank you for them recommitting their life to you today. For anyone else, God, who knows that they need to return to you, continue, Lord God, to water the seeds that are planted. And I pray, God, that in this season of the year, this time of the year, that we never lose focus on who is the reason for the season. We worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may have your seat.